שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו כאן בחיים.
Hello, thank you for being with us here on New Life, the series of educational discussions with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mendelbaum Ben Moshe. Our topic is the Jewish potential. It turns out that the Jewish nation has people have a great potential with our existence within the population, something that's beyond any proportions, something we'll try to deepen a little bit more and understand what this is, what we can do with it, and where this can take all our lives together and for each of us individually. Tal, opening words, the Jewish potential. Yes, so there are really facts and details that are really beyond belief about success in the world, and with that there's also all kinds of emotions that are evoked from this. We don't want to think of ourselves as special. Maybe it causes a little bit pride in what that means. And it shows that maybe we're not so successful in certain things. So it's really a topic that we would like to examine as objectively as possible. And maybe break up some myths and theories that are not right, and what we can do with these properties. So I'd like to tell you like a few details here that maybe will put us into this discussion aware of how much Jews are influential in the world. So we're about 0.2% of the population of the world. That's less than 0.25% of the population of the world, very few. But with that, 20 or 30% of the Nobel Prizes in the world went to Jewish people. In the United States, the IQ of and the educational level of Jews is 6 times of the American population. They're elites. They're way beyond the regular population. We know that in Hollywood, in the media, how many Jews are? Larry King, Spiegler, and Adam Sandler, and all the billionaires and all that. Out of all the oligarchs, and about 28% of the oligarchs in Russia are Jews. Freud, Einstein, big names that really had a mark on, a very meaningful mark on history. And Jews are basically, they stand out in all fields. They brought us the Torah, the Bible, the judicial things, the alphabet, all kinds of things that have so many influences. And we didn't even talk about the startups. So we talk here every day. We have another Israeli guy who started some big successful. Now I have someone, an acquaintance, a friend of mine who just started a new startup. All of a sudden he started with some startup that's going to be very big. So it's just something that's kind of like part of the routine of Israelis now. So the first question really comes in, why are Jews so successful? There are those that say that it's because of the education we received throughout the years. There are genetical claims. But what if, from your approach, how could it be that such a small minority has such a big influence? Rav Lightman? We need to begin with the foundations of the nation, which comes from Babylon. Where in Babylon, basically all of human civilization existed. And from that civilization, Abraham gathered, besides him, the people that answered the idea of let's reveal the upper force. Let's discover the meaning of life, the point in life, the most important thing above life, the force that manages nature, the force which we can reach. Although along the way we will have to change ourselves according to this force which we're discovering, because otherwise you can't discover it. But we will do it. And the people that agreed to follow and go towards this, he called them Jews, Yehudim. Because to attain this upper force can be done only through Ichud, through unity. And this is how he publicized throughout all of ancient Babylonia, like Rambam tells us, this clarion or this announcement, and tens of thousands of people, that's how Rambam writes, tens of thousands of people came to him. Because first of all, he was the big spiritual teacher of the Babylonians. His father was also in the same profession. Only his father educated them according to the nature of man, according to the ego. And Abraham discovered that we need to develop above the ego. That's why it's a completely different degree of development. So these people who joined him, he took them in the direction of Canaan, to Israel. Meaning, if we look at all of Babylon, as if there is before you, I don't know, a soup or some cake with cream. So you're taking just the cream on top from the cake. The people that have a longing for spiritual development, which is the most exalted, high and precise and special development that can be in humankind. So first of all, Abraham basically filtered out of all the civilization of humanity and divided it into two parts. That upper layer, kind of the cream of the crop, which is the nation of Israel, the Jews, and all the rest is the rest of humanity. These some of the things that people say that we're a little bit, we have our nose up in the air like that. Just, no, that's not important. This is what happened. About this, we hear in many of the sources, you can read about it, but that's what he did. There is nothing that has to do with being above others in such a way, because there were many tribes, there were gangs, there were families, small nations. Back then it could be maybe 200 people, it was called a nation, or a few thousands. And therefore, and he took from all of them, meaning he chose people according to their spiritual aspirations, according to their inner development. In doing so, he did a division that we're suffering for till this day, for that, because we're hated. But we need to think about the essence of his action itself. How did he do this? And since then, this group, which was established besides him, basically took from all of humanity all of the, I would say, all the intensity of advancement, the whole ability to advance to any direction, anything. Of course, these people, together with Abraham, with his authority, went and advanced according to how he taught them, only in one direction, even though they could do any possible thing. But they followed the light after the force of bestowal, the upper force, to discover it to the degree in which they unite, they connect between them, and become all in all in that connection between them, similar to the Creator, to the force of bestowal, to the force of love. Love thy friend as thyself. Don't do unto your friend what you don't want to be done to you. All of Israel are united in under conditions of mutual guarantee. Meaning they ascend to a state in which simply they ascended above all the life of this world. And that upper force which manages and rules the whole of the world, in all the worlds, in our world, in all the other manners and worlds, that upper force was revealed before them. They knew and perceived how it operates before them and how they can influence it, and in return, they could seemingly discuss with him, talk in a mutual manner against and with and before the upper force. Why was it important to Abraham to gather them specifically then and to do this kind of group of people? Because he discovered that this is the purpose of the development of man, the purpose of humanity. But for the time being, only for those that are capable of doing so. For others, also the time will come when they will receive this development. But they will get this development specifically due to this thing that Abraham did with this cream of the crop. So I would like to understand what's the connection or difference between those people back then and those successes of people in the world today that are seemingly not connected to the reason why Abraham gathered them at the time. Rav Lightman. Right, but because there is inside of them a special development that it's not just materialistic development which influences their matter, but the fact that there is in them a preparation to come closer to the upper force, to discover such phenomena in nature that a normal, regular person is not capable, because one's ego is completely concealing of his inner strengths and the forces of nature, the forces of ego. What is that ego that conceals things in nature? That the ego, Rav Lightman, the egotistical desire is, which is there to get along in the level of this world, that desire disconnects a person from godly revelation. Those people which he gathered had an inclination specifically for the revelation of godliness. Despite everything that happened in their regular life and what the materialistic life demands, they wanted to know, what's the point in my life? What's the meaning of my life? And that's what happened. So they actually developed a whole educational system. One of the claims is that the reason that they're so successful and intelligent is because all throughout all the years, compared to others, they had this education. Rav says, spiritual education. It showed how people connect, how they unite to be as one man, as one heart, as one mind, to unite despite there are forces that disturb us from connection. And that's what they managed to do. And this has nothing to do with the philosophization of the Gemara and the Talmud and other studies. No, the Gemara is much later. It's thousands of years. It's a thousand years later after Abraham. This is very much later. There are countries like Korea that are also trying to develop intelligence, and so they're trying to do the same thing. And yeah, by studying the Gemara. No, that's not the key. Yeah, many people have tried to do that. That won't help. I'm not saying that it's a good training for the brain. That's true, but so that's not the reason why Jews are successful. Rav Lightman, no, of course, the reason there is much, much deeper. It's that inner force of scrutinization, because Jewish people have the ability to scrutinize everything compared to the upper light. What is that upper light? Rav says, according to that special force in nature which operates on bestowal. Bestowal on what? The force of bestowal, giving. And then according to the nature of man, which is the force of the will to receive, Jewish people have the ability to be in those both contradictory forces and to see the world in this contradiction of these two forces, and then to do a scrutiny between them and connection. It's like Jewish people have the ability from two points of view, to observe things from two different point of views? Yes. So explain to me, what are those two points? And other people don't have those two point of view? They only have one point of view? Rav says, yes, they can do maybe even one point in these scrutinies, but those scrutinizations are pretty superficial. So is that imagery correct to say that a person who is not Jewish, it's like he has maybe an observation from one point, and the Jewish person has, in addition to that, an additional point? Rav says, I would like to be more precise here. We are talking about the foundation of this nation. Before it went through the shattering, the ruin of the first and second temples, as this destruction shows already the fact that they fell from that degree of ability that they had because their ego began to break out and cover that ability to relate to two forces, out of two forces to everything in life. So maybe before we go to where they lost it, in the beginning, yeah, Rav says, this is what I'm talking about until they reached that ruin of the temple. And we lost something from our abilities there? Yes. So let's understand what the ability was of Jews, and then what we lost, and then where we're going to. So if I understood this correctly, a person who was not Jewish had the ability to observe everything from a certain point of view. In addition to that, Jewish people had an additional point, and then that combination between the two made them one who can scrutinize deeper things. Rav says, they saw nature in depth. Through these two forces that were at their authority, they could connect to the upper force, which manages nature. Meaning, they would see all the depth, all those layers that there are in between our matter and the upper force. So let's try to understand this. What are those two points from which a Jewish person would observe things? What was the first one and what's the second? The force of reception and the force of bestowal. And what does that mean? The two forces, the plus and the minus. And these two forces, the plus and the minus, between them I can scrutinize anything, see it, see its beginning, see the process and its essence and its meaning, and thus progress in the scrutiny of the matter, of life, of the essence of life, how things are occurring. I can, if we're talking about before the ruins of the temples, before the shattering, our inner shattering, then we can talk about the fact that we saw life above our lives. Life that are life of the soul and not of the body, meaning without the limitations of time, movement, space, this world, then what you could see was the system of forces which manages our world. So what we have right now, our instinct, is that force of reception, right? We see the world through the prism of our eye. What's good for me, what's bad for me? Rav says, correct. Also, it was the same back then also, but Abraham taught them how through connection they could attain the second force, the force of bestowal. I didn't understand yet how you can see the world in one kind of layer and to see the world in a different slicing. Meaning, you called it about looking at the world out of the force of receiving and then the force of bestowal. How can that? Rav says, I can't explain to you. I can recommend to you, close one eye, put a patch on it, and go around like that for a few months. Let's see you. Okay. And then when you open it, you will start seeing with your two eyes. And you will see that with two eyes, you see everything with depth. Yes? You see the world in a stereo picture, and with one eye, it's only a superficial picture. I understood the allegory. What comes out of that? Well, define those two eyes and so I can understand how that relates. Two eyes are the force of reception and the force of bestowal, where either the world is managed only by the will of to receive, the force to receive reception, like everyone in this world sees, or it's ruled by the force of bestowal, which is the upper force, and it rules the force of reception and does with it what needs to be done. It's not just an additional force, another path, another eye. But rather it's you discovering the upper force which rules all this theater, this whole world, and that's what you're discovering. And you can already see what's happening before you, the reasons. the force of bestowal, operation, providence, governance, future, past, and present. You see that everything is opened up for you. You can also see that what you're seeing outside you is not outside you. It's happening in you. In me. Yes, in you it's happening. Why? Because you're seeing outside a reflection of your inner forces. Your inner forces are depicting here in your brain as forces like on a computer screen or on a TV. They're like vectors that are depicting over here this world. So this world doesn't exist. It's only here in your brain. They see this. They feel this, such people. And then, if it's in me, inside, if it depends on my qualities, on my properties, yeah, in a relative manner, then I can now change this on my own. I can change the world. I change the world. I work on my properties in what direction, like this or like that, and all of a sudden I see how the world changes. This is called that I'm managing the world. I'm ruling the world. We're entering here into some form of life which is very remote to what a normal, regular person has. Yes, I want to understand the things. Can I ask? In the beginning of the last explanation, you said that either the world is managed through the force of reception or the force of bestowal. I want you to be a little precise here. What does it mean to look at everything from the point of view that the world is managed by the will to receive, by the force to receive? Like, I'm talking about everyone in this world. And how does he see the world? He sees the world, which is ruled through the force of desire. Yes, a big desire eats the smaller desire. A big desire is what operates compared to the smaller desires. And the whole world is an order of egotistical desires as each is exploiting the other and so on. Look, watch TV and see everything that's going on these channels about animals, about nature. What are we talking about? About animals and nature? What's on there? How a big force manages to succeed and takes advantage of the smaller force. That's how everything is. It's all in all vectors, forces. That's it. And that's how it is also between human beings. It's hard for us to see this amongst human beings because we don't see this according to the direct behavior. For that, we need to see the heart and the mind of a person. What's going on there? What he's contemplating. Yes. So to go through, to scrutinize every one of these things, to look at the world that is going through the force of reception. Yes, the force of reception. Or egotistical. Yes, or an egotistical force. Well, for the sake of himself. For the benefit of himself. Yes, and separation. Every detail is caring for itself. The stronger wins here. And that's the way of looking at the world through the force of reception. Now, the second approach, to see the world that is managed through the force of bestowal. What do you mean with those words? This means that we need to discover a concealed, a hidden force in this world. It's hidden. It's not revealed. It's not revealed from us because we are not in this force. We don't identify it. If we try to resemble and be equal to this force of bestowal, what is the force of bestowal? The giving, benefiting, love, a good relationship, a good attitude, good, nice participation. Meaning, the force of giving is called that I can rise above my desire. That's one. And I can feel your desire, that's two, so much powerfully that I can take your desire and to begin and work with my desires in order to fill your desires. And then, from that, I receive pleasure. In these actions, I become similar to the upper force, which is called the Creator. As I relate to you, I relate exactly in such a manner that way. How do I know? I don't know. Only if I do so towards you, I discover that there's an upper force, and that's how he relates to you and to me. Meaning, I've constructed in my relationship towards you in this action, I have constructed a sense, a feeling to reveal the force of godliness, the upper force. Define it. Love and bestowal. Just like I did before you, a certain change, a transformation inside me. Thus, I discover that there is an upper force which also relates to you in such a manner. And then in you, in your will, in your desire, in your will that I want to feel, I discover that I am meeting with that upper force. This force is something that exists in nature. Where is it? It exists in nature. I discover that it is the first and the general force and the main force. And then you don't see already that the animals are eating each other. And no, I see that too, but in my eyes, it's not. It doesn't need. It's not that it doesn't need to be. We'll talk about that. But I discover the upper force. Okay, our time for this discussion is going to be finished, and we're going to continue. So I'd like a summary. The two point of views, those two point of views, that initial sight and that initial point of observation would cross over in the Jews of long ago, and that made them more advanced states. This is what Abraham taught them. Initially, they were like everyone, and with that one egotistical force, and instinctively they participated, they used it. And then Abraham taught them how to use the second verse. And that's what made them throughout history more successful, wiser, and all that. Yes, only that change. A last sentence for this today. I, as a Jew, as an Israelite today, can I bring that back? Can I bring that back? Yes, that's what the wisdom of Kabbalah was given to us. And we're living in a day and time where every one of us is capable. Okay, our time is over, but we will talk about this. With Rav Leitman. Yes, we have a good potential. Yes, the potential is good, already good. Thank you, Tal. Thank you, too, for being with us. There's potential. We have a lot to work with. Until next time, all the best, a new life. So long.